some people, friends. Peace be unto you as we say in our religion. As-salamu alaykum. I will have to again comment on the work that you all have been able to accomplish here. This is a very beautiful, my fellow here, Masjid Prayer Hall. Very beautiful and very beautifully decorated. The excellent scripture here was done by the Assistant Imam. Very excellent. Very beautiful place. We appreciate that. Allah Most High says in the Quran, this is the book in which there is no doubt, it is guidance for the God-fearing, is translated. The word is muttaqin, muttaqin, and it comes from a word, noun form taqwa, also tuqa, noun forms meaning reverence, deep, serious respect for something. And the word is used many times throughout the Quran. Allah says it's taqallah. That is translated in different ways. Fear Allah, reverence Allah, obey Allah. Different ways it's translated. Most of the time, fi Allah. We find that the same word has been used also for that is other than God, that is other than Allah. For God says, Istakullah, fear God, wal arham, and also the family ties. Or as one translator gives it in English, and reference the womb that bore you. Guidance for the God-fearing. Guidance for those who fear God. Guidance for those who reverence God, who have a deep, serious respect for God. And God requires us that we also have that deep and serious respect for certain other things, such as we mentioned, the family ties, or the wombs that bore us, as one translator gives it. And he says also, in reverence, the end day, the last day. And he also says, in reverence to fire, have a deep and sacred respect for the fire. Now we know we are not to worship the fire. It doesn't mean worship. We are not to worship our relatives. It doesn't mean worship. It means to have a deep and sacred respect for it because of its value to the life of society. God is the first, most important for the life of society. And that which he has established, his word, revelation, the prophets, especially the last prophet, peace be upon him, we ought to have a sacred respect for them. But God never has said that we should accept a prophet. But he did say that we should accept, that is, fear, have a deep sacred respect for the family ties, and for the fire, and for the last day, guidance for the God-fearing, guidance for those who have a sacred, deep, sacred, profound respect for Almighty God. Dear beloved Muslims, one who has that kind of respect for God is a believer. And God calls us by the name believers. Ya ayyuhal mu'minun. Over and over again, Ya ayyuhal mu'minun. Oh, you believers. And very rare does he say, Ya ayyuhal muslimun. Oh, you Muslims. But, Ya ayyuhal mu'minun. Oh, you believers. يا أيها الذين آمنوا all you that believe. So there is nothing without this respect for God in religion, without God being the center of our life, the most important thing in our life, that we have the deepest respect for, the greatest respect for. And then the religion is nothing. It's not religion. It all begins in faith. Faith. We must be a people of faith. Why is faith so important for the life of society, for the life of the human being in society? Many of us take faith to be something that we look for in the church, or look for in the mosque, or look for in religion, and we don't understand the need for faith in the whole of our lives. For the Imam Shabazz, what he's depending on most of all for the success of this project is faith. It needs people to support it, people that understand what is here as a possibility and appreciate it. It needs intelligent people. It needs money. But what he feels as the greatest need is faith. Because without faith, you don't give money. Are we up in the air yet? I don't know how I'm coming. Am I taking off? Are we up in the air? Praise be to Allah. You know, Prophet Muhammad, he had to go up to come down. I hope we all get back down. All of us. Faith. Faith, that's the foundation. Faith. And how wonderful it is given in the Quran. We look at these great huge bodies of material. The earth, and even though it's bigger than our own family, of planets than this earth, Jupiter, how big it is in mass. And science tells us nothing is holding it up except something that's invisible, weightless. Attracting power, that's all. And attracting power is holding it up. When you go out there, the body just seems to float, just hanging in space. The things that are too heavy for us to lift down here, just hanging mid-space up there. Faith has been compared to this power, this invisible power. that keeps great bodies, great mass like Jupiter and Earth and Mars and all these planets and those that are much greater in mass than these, held in space seemingly without support or structure. So the disbelievers, they say, what is this sea, man, planet, and great earth sea? It ain't real, because they can't touch it with their hands. They can't see it with their physical eyes. They can't weigh it on a physical scale. So they say, this is unreal. But you can't weigh that that's holding up this planet either on a physical scale. And you can't see it either with your physical eyes. You can't touch it with your hands. Yeah, that's the Quran. None of us should be foolish, not if we claim to be Muslims, and think that the believers will let you define for us our religion. You will have to present your point, your message, your principle, your idea, your philosophy, whatever it is, in a way for us that convinces us that that is exactly what God says in the Holy Quran. And if you can't convince us that that is exactly what God is saying in the Holy Quran, we throw your bull away. That's the believers. The dumbest of the believers cannot be fooled by a hypocrite. No, because they have opposite natures, and the believer will detect him right away. God says the whole earth is his messenger, his mark, al-ardu masjidullah, the earth is the mark of God. So says Allah in the Quran. So we know this is a beautiful place, makes us feel very nice and comfortable to be here. But never think of your mark, or the mark, in these limited confines. Allah says the earth is the mark of God. Al-ardu masjidullah. What is the earth essentially? Land, water, air, fire. And those are the same things that move in us as individuals and as people or as a society. Elements such as the land that has what they call cohesiveness. It adheres. It holds together. And water, that is fluid, it can run, it can move about. And air, that fills the space, the void, above. And fire, for warmth, and many other benefits. These elements, when they come together in a good way, we see growth, beauty, God has pointed out for us a house in the desert. Not a place beauty, riches, wealth, no, a barren place. And there, out there in the desert, is a house. And God tells us that that house is the first house built to the worship of the one God.
by Abraham, the son of Ishmael, he's the offender. And Levi the Becker, our base, the first house, is the one, and Levi the Becker is the one at Mecca. Becker is the old name for Mecca, ancient name, called Mecca in later history. A desert, not a place of foliage, cultivation, is a barren place. People don't go there in great numbers because there's scarcity there, not plenty, scarcity. It's not a sign of cultural development, civilization, industry. It's a sign of wealth. But there is where the house is established. As a sign that before civilization, before cultural development, before civilization, there was pure devotion to God. And it's the same people in a situation like that. They were sustained. As you know, Abraham's descendants was left attracted to that such place, that barren place. His wife Hagar and the boy Ishmael, or Ishmael in the Bible. They didn't perish. In that barren place, they were provided for. The life of the African American and the poor of these big cities is just like Hagar and her child. And the only thing that can keep us is faith in God. Without faith in God, we destroy. We are destroyed. You have nothing without faith in God. We don't have great wealth, great power. We don't have command over resources. We don't have political might. We don't own the industries. We are weak and powerless. So if we forget God, lose faith, then we become nothing but material for destruction. We will destroy ourselves and be destroyed by others. It's a great sign in that house, that simple, lonely house it seems, way out there in the desert. A great sign that their house is still standing in a situation of poverty and want. What has kept it up? Faith in God. Yes, it's still there. And really, it's not such a lonely house because it's visited by millions from all over the world. They come there to that house. It's lonely only when you look at the material environment of it. The geography there. But when you think of the people that devote themselves to the pilgrimage, to God, and to the pilgrimage, really was not a lonely house at all. It's a well-attended house. Allahu Akbar. Faith is the beginning of it. Faith. We must have faith. Faith makes us want to put ourselves in the best order. Those who believe in God, they want to be presentable before God. They don't like to see their life deteriorate, mar, or in any other way. Faith generates a desire for excellence, so that faith is in the God, Almighty God. If you don't have faith in God, you're going to have faith still. You have faith in something. Have faith in our slave masters. Yeah, you're going to be a slave one way or another. Either the slave of Allah or the slave of some other. It's the idea of being. Yes, you're going to be the slave of something. It's your nature to be the slave of something. God says, "He has not made me the gem of my men for any purpose other than to worship him." And the word worship is from slave. It means to give service to God as a completely helpless being. That's a slave. Now, many of us have faith, and I know you do, because I see you, and I recognize myself. A man of faith recognizes himself. Yes. When he sees a person of faith, he sees himself, because that's him. In that particular context. So we appeal to the people of faith to hold on to your faith. Be comfortable with your faith. Don't let the ignorant world hang you out of your faith. But don't be non-productive. Act out your faith. Act out your religion. For the prophet has said, peace and blessing be upon him. The weakest of faith is just to hold it in the heart. The strongest of faith is to do a physical act or a physical deed. Next to strength, to that strength, is to use your tongue and speak out, promote that is right. So says the prophet. And the weakest is to just tear it in your heart. It's a good opportunity here for us. Great opportunity for us. In this place here, physically, but in the whole world today. Yes, in the whole world. The whole world has undergone a shaking that has turned things for them upside down. And many people who used to be well established and felt that they were in control forever feel themselves now insecure. And they are looking for new foundations to start all over again. So you have come to a time wherein you are no worse situated than most of the people on this earth. In fact, you may be better situated than most of the people on this earth. But you have to do something. You have to get up and take advantage of the new times and the new opportunities. You have to work some every day. You feel bad inside, most likely it's because you didn't work any today. Work makes you feel good. Work some every day. And you don't need an employer for that. You employ yourself. See, that's the difference between the poor and the rich. The rich employ themselves. The poor are employed by us. Yes. Your resources, it's a labor resources. Right? Labor resources. must employ your own resources. Not that you shouldn't work for somebody else, but even if you work for somebody else, you know in your own heart that you are also employed by yourself. Yeah. Don't go to the job because you have to go. So I'm going to the job because I have to go. What do you mean you have to go? Go to the job because it's your choice. Because you choose to go. But they make work seem so bad and ugly. So the average ignorant person, they buy the idea of work that they give them. They say, I have to go to work. No, you don't have to go to work. You're going to work because that's your choice. You could have made a different choice. Be faithful. Be a people of faith and be faithful. Be faithful is another way of saying be loyal. We learned from Soldier. The Soldier yesterday, he left us two principles. He said the key, he said, faith and loyalty. Faith and loyalty. Faith and faithfulness is another way of saying faith and loyalty. Faith and faithfulness. الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات. Those who have faith and do good work. I like this work. Those righteous works, you know, cover all the activities that are possible for a human being. And Allah says in the Quran, and he has created you that you should grow. That is, be productive. Faith and productive life. That's what makes you happy. That combination. Faith and productive life. But faith and just sitting at home, just waiting on something that's happened, spooky, makes you miserable. The prophet, when he was presented with a person for that person's excellence in religion, he was told that that person kept all the devotions, prayed, stayed in prayer and fast, etc., etc., but they didn't tell the prophet anything about his productive work, his livelihood, only his spiritual devotion and religious response. And the prophet said, who takes care of him? They said, we do, O Messenger of God. He said, then you're better than he is. So the people who are responsible for life support, the means of survival, the means of life, food, clothes, shelter, transportation, etc., etc., those people are more useful to society and are more beautiful in the eyes of God than those who just devote themselves to spiritual discipline. Be faithful and productive. And I really plead to this community because we are not getting younger, we're getting older. I'm 51 years old. And I think Allah lived to see this long, you know. And many people died before 51. I would like to see another 51, but can't expect it. I expect to go like my relatives go. They go around 70 years or so. Some of them live longer. But if I live longer now, I'll still be gone as far as you can find out. You're tired. Unless a miracle does happen in my life that I don't know anything about. So our people have to stop just sitting and waiting for something to happen stupidly. ability, go ahead. Move out. Do something. Show something. Join those that have better qualifications. Lend your help to a stronger person. And all will share in the blessing. Have more than just mere faith or spirit, but have production. Have establishment. That's what makes a people feel good, when they can look at their establishment. This particular facility here represents an establishment. An establishment of a pretty good size. If the believers on this, it would be a source of inspiration, strength, encouragement for those that we can't reach with mere dialogue. Yes! Very much necessary. And as Ray Nam said, he's very much correct. Even under Dalai Lama Elijah Muhammad, with all of his positive teaching for the black man, nothing happened for 30 years or more in terms of real material progress. I was born to my father and mother under this name we call now still Muslim. It wasn't the religion as it was supposed to be, but it was the reason we call ourselves Muslim. I can't recall the early 30s. I can go pretty far back though. I can recall things that happened in the 30s. I can. As a child. The 40s, pretty clear, pretty vivid to me. From 41 on, the whole history. Nothing happened in the 40s. It was the early 50s. And something started to happen a little bit. And it wasn't until late 50s and 60, early 60s, that it really caught on. And when it caught on, the so-called Nation of Islam were owners of property, businesses, handling money and business. Then it wasn't so hard to get somebody to say, I'll take out a letter, I'll join. The ministers stopped going to the island of Patmos. In the 18th century. They get a convert. They get that. Look at Dalai Lama Muhammad's blueprint. Economic plan. That's all they had to do. People just got it. I like to join. Not saying you have to have a physical attraction to get people. You know you don't have to have that. But you have to have a healthy, sane, practical outlook on life. You can't just preach people holiness. You can't expect them to flock to you in great numbers. Those that's looking for only holiness are angels. There ain't many of them among people. What I mean by holiness, a spiritual thing. You know, you have an idea that's really foreign to Islam. An idea of holiness that's foreign to our religion. You think holiness is just what the Western world thinks holiness is. Being other than real. But the work has to improve the condition of your family is holiness in this religion. Yes. So you carry out your full responsibility. That's holiness. You can devote yourself to spiritual matters and neglect your obligation to your family and to the society, and you won't be called holy in the judgment. You'll be called wicked. Reverend, I watched on television. I've watched him two or three times since I've been out here on the West Coast. Maybe he got his church in Inglewood. Dr. Frederick Casey Price, they call him. I had to put down his words today, but he said, I'm quoting him now, it makes no difference how often you have failed. God's mercy is new every morning. You know, it made me recall the saying of the prophet, and it gives us a long hadith, that a certain man had a tendency to sin, but he had a conscience also, and he would sin, and he would remember that he has a Lord that forgives sin. So he returned to Allah, his Lord, and Allah says, and the prophet says that Allah says, I forgive you. See, you have sinned, and you have remembered that you have a Lord that forgives sin. I forgive you. And this man kept coming back to God like that, until at one point, God said to him, go on your own reconnaissance, I think. What did that say? Recognizance. He just said, you go on your own recognizance. Means he trusts you on your own. And that's what Allah told this believer after he had shown that he had a natural tendency to come to his Lord whenever he got in trouble. So though he got in trouble often, over and over again, God never turned him down, and after he did it for so long, God said, go on, you're on your own. Meaning that he had shown his faith and his righteousness, though he was a sinner. His righteousness was stronger than his tendency to sin. So whenever he sinned, he called God. And he went to God, asking for forgiveness. And doing that so much makes it become your nature to do it. Then when it becomes your nature, God can trust you on your own. So I want to tell the Reverend, I tried to holler through the television, but he couldn't hear me. He said, that's beautiful, Reverend. But you just can't keep committing sin without remembering God. So if you do, you're not going to know. I don't think you're going to be, so oh, you got to be another. There won't be no other morning. You keep committing sin without remembering Allah, and you won't have another morning. Yeah, God's mercy is new every morning, that's right. For the one who recalls his Lord every time he commits sin. But that one that goes on committing sin without remembering that he has to pay for it, he has a duty, an obligation, he has to be accountable for a power, God. There's no new morning for him. He just follows Father with his life. He can do that in sin. So finally, there's no hope for him. He's dead. And I believe the Bible says that too, doesn't it? Sin is death. So you give yourself to it, you use the pathway, you become dead. Then nothing can reach you. And there are a lot of people like that leave this city. Dead in sin, nothing can reach their confidence. Taqwa, that precious word in the Quran. Taqwa is taqwa law and reverence God. And none will be guided except the muttaqin, in those who have taqwa. To have right behavior as the most serious concern in our lives, that's taqwa. When I'm living constantly with a sense of how I should behave, that's taqwa. So at any moment something invites me to go wrong, my taqwa says, hey, it alerts me. So we say conscience. Some say God conscience. That's our taqwa. But that alone is not enough for progress in the world. It is the beginning. It is the necessary condition for starting out, for making a good life on earth. But the soul has to grow in knowledge and understanding. It has to grow until it becomes an enlightened soul. Then it can be strong, productive, and established in the world. You on the plane and getting on the plane, partner. You know, you already came down. And the plane was filling up. And they told us, hey, well, we're going to make room to. We want to get everybody on the plane. We want to fill the plane up. And, you know, we don't like to sit all sandwiched in. So I had moved over and got myself in a nice seat. And the spirit said, you know, possession is 9/10 of the law. So I felt very good because I was in that seat. That's possession. And he said, you know, possession is 9/10 of the law. So don't move around, just stay where you are. I said, very good, thank you very much. To myself, I said, well, I'm in good situation here. That's 9/10 of the law. The other 1/10 is taqwa. Now, this man comes there and tells me that's my seat. He showed me his ticket. No matter what the steward said, I could get up and get in his seat. Sense of right behavior. The moral foundation, the spiritual and moral foundation, is the most essential. It's the most important. It is the most important of foundations. If you build on that, you can count on a teacher. Look at what God says of the moral. There's a net moral that was built on taqwa. It is the true mark. And the mark that is not built on taqwa, God said, don't even stand in it to pray. So that tells us what's the most precious thing for our mark. It's taqwa. And how many holes you can get into it? It's taqwa. And I don't mean physical horror. I mean corruption. Corrupt-minded people who shut out the precious life for the quick thing. in Syria, Bushmen, apes and heaps, etc. For centuries, for generations, and I've even witnessed a classification of them put into law, put into textbooks, and established as fact. They need more than just to say, you're okay now. They need re-education. They need re-education. They need to be shown in the same convincing way and even a more convincing way the truth. That's a powerful way to present a lie. Capture people, put them in a helpless situation, and then classify them scientifically as subhuman, and draw all the nations and powers and institutions behind you. That's a powerful condition for taking away from the person the belief in themselves, the belief in their own worth. You just can't change that by saying you're free now. You're equal. God loves you just like he loves us. That's not the way you establish that. They didn't establish it by saying you're unequal. God does not love you like he loves us. They went and sought to fabricate scientific information to establish that the African person, the African descendant, was inferior. And even as late as 10 years ago, they've had so-called wise leaders of their own kind on television promoting that idea that the blacks are genetically inferior, inherently inferior. You can't correct that by just saying you're equal now. And they know it. I'm talking about the wise ones among them that are guilty. They know it. They know they can talk all this beautiful talk and you still won't be productive because they have established a belief in your soul. You believe in your soul that you are not a white man and not equal to him. That he got something you haven't got. You believe in your soul that you can't compete with him. And they know it. Because they have conditioned you to believe that. And no matter how much you say you're equal, they know it's nothing but talk. Until you are re-educated. And it's just a few of us that have been re-educated. A few of us have been re-educated. The great majority walk in the dark. Chapter in the Quran where God says, Sabbih isma rabbika al-a'la. Glorified be the name of your Lord Most High. Al-Ladhi khalaqa fasawwa. Who created and then fasawwa. This word sawa or suwa, sawa, is translated in different ways. To get an understanding of a word, you have to see it in its meaning, performance. See how it performs in different ways, in different contexts. The word suggests balance, equality, and proportion, proportioned design. What do we mean by proportion design? Balanced design. That's what it means.
When an artist draws something and it has balance, we say that's a beautiful drawing. But if he draws something, no matter how abstract it is, if he leaves it without balance, there's something wrong with it. He has to find some way. Those who know art know what I'm talking about. He has to find some way to do something with his drawing to balance. He can put something hanging out here on the side, a heavy thing hanging out here on this side. But if he doesn't put something, it can be small. It can be so small you can't hardly see it. But it'll be enough to balance whatever's hanging out really. The one who created then gave balance. Another place in the Quran, Allah says, through Moses, the prophet Moses, who was debating Pharaoh, or replying to Pharaoh's question. Pharaoh said, who is this? Who is the Lord of the world? He asked about Moses, God. Who sent Moses? That Moses said, Allah. So who's Allah? Allah. Allah is the Lord of the world. So who is the Lord of the world? So Moses was given the words from God, saying, Alladhi aata kulli shay'in khalqahu thumma hada. The one who gave everything is creation, and thereafter is guidance. خلق فسوى. He created, and thereafter gave balance. Or thereafter, there was balance, equality. And so, those who are blessed with philosophical insight, they understand this to also allude to or apply to the equality of man. Man is one creation. Therefore, man is equal with man. No white is superior to a black. No black is superior to a white. Because God has established equality in the likeness or the sameness of our creation. We have the same creation, therefore we are equal. خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى. Allah Most High says in the Quran, He is the one that has created the heavens and the earth. And again He said, and He brought out from it its water. Speaking of the earth, its water. The water belongs to the earth. As we mentioned earlier, the four the essential forces comprising the makeup of the earth environment, land, water, air, fire. Water is one of them. And brought out of it is water. And also its produce, its plant life. And we see this word again where God says, فَسَوَّهُنَّ سَبْعَ سَمَوَاتٍ, speaking of the skies, or the heavens. And He proportioned them seven heavens. And He proportioned them seven heavens, it says. If we look at this philosophical insight, then we would come to understand that those heavens are also equal, though one is above the other. They have an equality that they share. The prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, the last and most complete of God's creature are the complete ones of God's creature with the completed revelation before eyes. He is seen in the vision or ascension, mi'raj, visiting the levels, the seven levels. On the first man, our father Adam, he saw. And on the second, Jesus and John the Baptist. And on the third, Joseph or Yusuf. And on the fourth, Idris, some say Idrisel. And on the fifth, Aaron, Harun, or Aaron. And on the sixth, Moses, Musa, or Moses. And on the seventh, Father Abraham, or Ibrahim, in Islam. And God says, and in you are like number. And in you are like number. Seven above you, and in you there are like number. So what is God saying? He's saying that whatever has been described or revealed in that vision that is above us is also in us. We are man, and whatever has come out of man was in man. And no man has lost what was in him. No. See, this is what you call philosophical study, reflection, insight. How are we existing today in Inglewood? Because that line or lineage has survived. So what is existing in us in Inglewood? Whatever it was before. We are the living proof of this continuation. So whatever the first man had in him, I got it. I'm speaking scientifically, as well as philosophically. Whatever the first man had in him, I got it. Whatever Adam had in him, I got it. And all of those men came out of Adam. So there's an equality of man. We even bear an equality with prophets. Yes! Look at the rusty wheel stop turning. Yes, we bear an equality with the prophets. In our human essence, we bear an equality with the prophets. They were no more than human beings. And if they were our leaders, then they were leading us to follow them. And if someone tells me follow him, then I expect that I have the ability and the capacity to do that. That's why God says if there were angels on the earth, he would have sent an angel down here to lead us. But it's not rational, it's not logical to send something that is not of your same make, form, capacity to be your leader. If I was supernatural, how can I be your leader? You can only follow me so far. Are we to follow Prophet Muhammad so far and then stop? We are to follow Prophet Muhammad all the way. He didn't give us any limit to how far we should come behind him or follow him. We are to follow him all the way. And he became a man bearing the responsibility for the whole life, the whole society of man. Right? Not just for his moral or spiritual needs, but his economic needs, his political needs, all of his needs, defense of the land and everything else. That was a mortal man. and all the rest of them were. And we bear an essence that is the same as theirs, that innate human form that God created is the same for all of us, no different. That's why God says in the Quran, tell them, O Muhammad, I am a common mortal man just like you. No angel, no supernatural person, no spirit without human nature, no same as you. This is the education that you need to come out of your old crazy idea of your own self that this wicked enslaving world gave us. Stop believing what they told you about black people and the inferiority and all that stuff. And accept what God has said, that you are in essence no different from any other human being. And that God has placed in you a potential for excellence the same that He placed in every other human being. The possibility for any man, the possibility for every man. And better than scientific proof, for believers, God's word is the strongest. While what God has said can be presented to the wise in the world, and they won't argue with it. Nothing but the fools will argue. Why? They won't argue. They respect it. They take their hats off. They submit themselves. They stand humbly before the word of God, especially when it's presented by a sober-minded person. And He made them seven heavens. And in another place it says that He established them seven strong firmament. Strong firmament. Data. Seven strong firmament. Just telling us that we have a possibility for development, for growth into excellence, that represents strength. Great foundation. And they're all within us. If we would just give our spirit to the fear of God, become rational in our minds, and not crazy. To believe in the prophet is to believe that God communicates. It is to believe that or He that is different from us and from creation, unlike us, unlike creation, before us, before creation, needing us not, needing not creation, that He exists and He communicates His will, His message to a human being like ourselves. That's what to believe in the prophet is to believe that is beyond our total rational grasp. You can't see Him completely. You can't understand Him completely. You can't know Him thoroughly. We sense. We believe upon faith and spiritual experience. So we can't know Him directly. As God said, you can only see Him from behind a petition. You cannot see Him directly. It is to believe that one communicates clearly to the intellect of man. That's what to believe in the Father is. And God required it. We believe in the Father. We believe in God, but we believe in the prophet. Right? So if the Muslim perceives these fundamentals in faith correctly, these fundamentals in faith gives him a greater sense of worth and purpose on this earth. Gives him a greater sense of worth and purpose on this earth. It makes possible for him a greater life and a more productive life. He's no small thinking person. His vision is big. His path of growth and progress is long. Some of us can't see across town. Are we doing all right on the 747? DC-10? I don't know what it is. If you go up high enough, when you come back down, all this will be manageable. Yeah. Because bigger things are up there than down here. I hope you know that. You might be fine with flea rings or butterfly rings or mosquito rings, I don't know, but if you're flying with the right wings, you will know that there are greater things up there than down here. God said he's the one who feeds us both from heaven and earth. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. Says he is the one who feeds you from both heaven and earth. Now we come to the principle of faith. Faith. God says, believe in God, believe in his messengers, believe in the books that they brought, etc., etc. But we're concerned right now with just belief in the messenger, belief in the man. The messenger is a man. As God says, just like you. Not different, not of a different make, same human make you are. The scriptures that came before, they spoke of, those scriptures spoke of one that will be called faithful and true. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he was known by the name El Amin, the trustworthy one, El Amin. And there is a verse in the Quran speaks of a town that calls it Balad al-Amin, town of trust. It gives us the progressive growth of man into excellence, the excellence of conscience and responsibility. Gives it to us in symbols. What teeny was a tune, by the fig and the olive. What dulcinea and mountaina. And in the fourth, what had a Balad al-Amin. And this town made faith, this translator. What it means, this town of trust. We are people of distrust. How far can we go? We have to become a people of trust. So whatever we establish for people to support themselves by or upon, there should be proof that that is trustworthy. So in our religion, we have to understand the progression of trust, the logical growth of trust. What do we trust first? God. And nothing had to teach that to us. We were born with a nature to trust God. And those who don't trust God is because men have lied to them in the name of God for so much and so long that they have disappointed those people. God did not disappoint them, but they've had liars that sung beautiful songs, and they committed to stand of listening too long. First is trust in God, and then trust in his messenger. Now we know that angels and others can come between, because the messenger, he's a mortal man like us. And we know God does not come directly, but by revelation. So we have to believe and accept that there's a medium between the angel, right? The angel, the medium of revelation, our messenger of revelation, or the light, between God and man, or acting on behalf of, for God, on behalf of man, bringing him the light, but only as a medium, not as a rational being. For the angel has no rational ability. This is Islamic science as well as the revelation. Okay? So don't say that was Imam Tabarani Muhammad's interpretation. It's not. See, the fools will say anything because they know nothing.
Come on.
So really they can't even be blamed for what they say. You just excuse them. As Allah said in the Quran, say peace and keep going. Don't engage the fool. Yeah, that's what our religion teaches us. Don't engage the fool. If a man utters something stupid out of his mouth, don't engage him. Don't try to convince him, get into an argument with him. The fool ain't willing to listen, you keep going. Teach him, but don't engage him in an argument. So that denotes you, right? Oh, yeah. إِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. If they're engaged by the ignorance, they say peace. They don't try to establish no logic before fools. So faith is established first in God. Secondly, in that God established or revealed. And God has established that he revealed to men, common mortal like me, that think like me, that hunger like me, that have my weaknesses and have my strengths, live and die, born ignorant, have to be educated, just like me. God established such person, as spokesman, to convey his message to men. Yes. And with the knowledge given in his message, to establish their society, that it should be greater, more progressive than anything on the earth. That's right. Now, any other category of faith must be qualified. Can I come out here and tell you all to trust me without qualifying it? No, you ain't supposed to trust me unless you see in me that my foundation is faith in God. Then you're supposed to trust me. But if you detect in me that my foundation is not trusting God, you shouldn't trust me. The prop just got to fall apart. The devil has nothing to stand on now. Look, I believe most of you know, and God certainly knows, that I am committed first of all to doing His will. And I didn't come into this because I wanted to find a new dimension for my soul, for my mind. I came into this because I was with you. I wanted to find a better life for us. So whatever it is that to invite us to invest in it, to trust it, to give us our support, we must first verify, first know or prove that what we are about to give ourselves to is itself worthy. And it can't be worthy upon its own merit. It must be worthy upon its faith. Its faith in God. What has hurt us more than anything else is this tendency to put all our faith in a person. That's what the wicked rulers want for the masses. That you put all of your faith in a person. They know that person ain't gonna live forever. And they going out to get that person. Build them up real great. Until you really believe in him, get all of you believe in him, raise you up for a great letdown. It is the ignorant, uncultured man that builds an idol from among his family tribe and put his whole faith in that particular idol, that particular person. And when the person dies, he worships his spirit and wait on him to come back from the grave. What? Now, how can we be really sincere in helping our lot and not fight these great evil influences that have been responsible for us failing generation after generation? You have to have patience. You have to appreciate what we're talking about now. Register it deeply in your heart and soul and be alert from the hereafter. That's right, be alert. Detect when somebody is presenting you a man to worship. Don't think that the wise white man worshiped Jesus. The wise white man acts in the place of Jesus. Jesus is dead, he's alive in the wise white man. We don't buy their ideas. We don't buy their religion. We know Allah who occupies. It was proven once, it can be proven again.
Hey, is Allah really Akbar?
Yeah.
See how you convinced me and the white man going to the moon and the Arabs in the desert still riding camels?
Come on.
See how can you convince me?
Come on.
There were great empires, Persian, Roman, etc., etc. And the little man Muhammad said, Allahu Akbar, and shook them off their butts. Yeah. They said, hey, they got up. Hey, who is this man, Muhammad? You know, there's a story by one minister. He says, on the day Muhammad was born, he said the people went out as usual, but they saw the devil standing with their head hung. And they say, what happened that the devils all have their head hung this morning? Then Muhammad was born this morning. Muhammad was big trouble in their mind. Wasn't because he had industry, he didn't have it. He didn't have a great army, no, he had the truth. He had the understanding, he had the knowledge. He had that he could give the masses. Turn them into a formidable force. Something to give you all the hell you want. He didn't have great numbers, a small number. Sometimes his forces were outnumbered to 100 times. But when they got ready, he would look at the enemy from a distance. Allahu Akbar! And he was saying, you bigger than us, but Allah is bigger than you. And we have history to prove. We have history to testify. Let it work. Defeated the great empire. Those that weren't defeated by physical battle, they just gave up on their own. Yeah. And they were much more prepared for war in the eyes of the world than Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him. Oh yeah. And when his numbers got big, they just, No. We don't want none of that. There's no need for us to go to physical war with nobody. We have a war with ourselves. We have a war with the absence of hope, the absence of faith. We have the war against lies that have been told to us of our own worth as people. That's what we have to war against. We have to war against this exaggerated picture of a white man we have in our mind. Well, I know a lot of you all are tired. You ready to leave? We have to turn this life around from one of distrusting people like us and trusting people like us. But we can't trust anybody just on them saying they should be trusted. We have to see the proof that they themselves are well-founded, well-grounded, faith in God, number one. Decent. And honor and truthfulness must be in them. Don't.
what and whom should we believe? Allah. And whoever convinces us by their deeds, their actions, and their life, that they have that faith as their foundation, we can trust them too. Another big problem for us, that we're looking for just one answer for all of our questions and all our problems. One answer. Is there one answer? Yes. Yeah. But that answer just puts you in a situation to do something. The one answer is trust God. Yeah. That's the one answer. Trust God. But that just puts you in a situation to do something. Now, how are you going to do something? You're a human being. You can't perform as a spirit only. You're a human being. You must perform as a human being. There ain't no one way for you to perform. God has made you so varied in your makeup, so complex in your makeup, you have many ways to perform. We are looking for just one role. One road, yes, and one road, faith in God, one road. Obedience to God, one road. Obedience to truth, one road. Application, many roads. So God warns us against following many ways, and then he speaks of his ways as being many ways. Yes. He says one way, but he also speaks of the many ways. And then again, he says there's a great sign for men, knowledge, in Joseph and his brethren. And what was the instruction to them? Do not enter the city by one way, but by different, various ways. And we want just one way. Oh, ma'am, can't we salad it all the way? No, you can't salad it all the way. Well, I don't want too much on my back. Can't I just do salad and zikr? No. That ain't enough. Prophet Muhammad condemned a person for just doing salad, zikr, and prayer, praying, and fasting. You must do much more. Those are great foundations. Those are the foundations. That's what give us stable security, sense of security, faith in God, commitment to the devotion, the religious devotion. But we have to be workers in the world, productive in the world. We got jobs to do. This great responsibility has to be executed in many avenues. And the prophet has told us, who does a lawful work, worship his God. Oh, yes. If he's a banker and he's doing it with a conscience, he's doing it in an honorable way. He's worshiping God with his work. He's an industrialist, scientist, or whatever. In fact, the scientist has been given a place next to the prophet. Yes. In our religion, that is the case. So get out of that tendency in you to just try to find one door, one answer for everything. It's the Western world that says, Jesus is the door. That's just one door. There's a whole lot of doors. Now, maybe that's the door for the poor, huh? Yeah, that's what they say, you know. Jesus is the Lord for the poor. So maybe that one door is the door for the poor, you see. It's a good door. Even the rich should go through it. But you won't get rich if that's the only door you got.